Good morning. Our meditation for this Holy Trinity Sunday is based upon our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 4, and the account of the creation, something that is very familiar to many, but something that is also not believed by many. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As the story goes, every time a little boy went to his playmate's house, he would always find his friend's grandmother sitting at the kitchen table, deeply engrossed in reading her Bible. One day he asked his friend, "Why do you suppose your grandma reads the Bible so much?" "I'm not sure," his friend replied, "but I think she's cramming for her final exam." The Bible, the foundation of the Christian faith. In it, we find how things came to be, how things came to become messed up, how the Creator then interacted with His fallen creation in order to restore it, and finally it reveals where we are heading. In short, it answers the age-old philosophical question, where did I come from, why am I here, and where am I going? But another question that is just as old is this one. Is the Bible true? Can it be trusted? Or has it been shown to be just a fictional account, simply written to prop up weak-minded people, as one of our past presidents once asserted? Not naming names, but his first name begins with a B and his last name an O. But that is the fundamental question. Is the Bible something that we can rely on? Is it truthful? Is it literally God's word given to mankind in order to answer those three important questions? And should we be using it to cram for our final exam, which will occur the very second you and I take our last breath? Because it will be in that very moment that you and I will know the truth of where we came from, why we were born, and perhaps most importantly, where we are going. I'm not sure anything else in all of human history has been so closely examined as the Bible. It has been translated and scrutinized, debated and fought over. Thousands of ancient manuscripts have been compared in order to make sure that we have a text as close to the original as possible. And the answer to all of that is, we do. You, my friends, can be confident that your Old Testament is the same one that was used by Jesus, and that the New Testament is as it was for the first generation of Christians. So then the real question becomes, do you believe it? Surprisingly, or perhaps more accurately, sadly, many in the Christian faith do not. In a recent Pew Research study, it found that 26% of Protestants and 28% of Catholics say they do not believe in the Bible, even though they believe in God. But here is my question. How can you know who God is without the Scriptures? Yes, you can look at the world, the universe, and be amazed at how people are made, and all those things will lead people to acknowledge that there is no way that any of this happened by an accident, but those things will still not reveal who the Creator is. It is only by the Creator revealing Himself to His creation that we can know Him, and that is why faith and confidence in the Bible is so critical, because without it, we are lost, truly lost, and we will not be able to find our way back to God, whom the Scriptures reveal is a triune God. While the Trinity isn't emphatically stated in the Scriptures, by implication, it is actually stated many times. And the early Christians discovered that they simply could not speak of God without speaking of the three ways in which He has revealed Himself, that He is one God, who has shown Himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, you may ask me, Pastor, What is this source of your confidence in the Bible? And my answer will simply be this. Jesus. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who affirmed the truth of the Scriptures over and over again by quoting them and asserting the Scriptures' truthfulness. For example, Jesus affirmed that Abraham, Jonah, and Noah were not fictional characters, and nor was the covenant promise, Jonah being swallowed by a whale, or the worldwide flood made up stories or illustrations. So the bottom line is, if you say you believe in Jesus, that he is God in the flesh, then you must likewise believe in the Bible, all of it, because our Lord certainly did, and he affirmed the foundational truth of the Bible from the very first chapter. Have you not read, Jesus asked, that in the beginning God created the male and female? In the beginning. And in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 31, after he had made everything, saw all that he had made was very good. Don't let that verse slip you by. Everything was very good. In other words, there was no disease or death. What God had created was paradise, and the stars in the universe would serve to declare God's almighty power and limitless creativity, and it was created for all of God's children, created in his image, to enjoy forever. But that didn't last long, did it? Yet for many, we now come to that critical crossroads of one's faith, something that has led countless souls to eventually lose their faith and others to allow it to be corrupted. Is Genesis a true account as Jesus believed it was? Or is it, as so many have come to believe, a fanciful tale and therefore throwing all of the Scriptures into doubt? Did you know what the first speech ever given by men from the moon was? It was the reading of the creation account from the crew of Apollo 8 on Christmas Eve 1968. And yet, the three astronauts themselves today don't believe it's a literal account, because they cannot reconcile their belief in billions of years of evolution, death and decay, and mutations, and God creating everything perfectly in 6 days. And yet, stop and think about it. If everything wasn't perfect in the beginning, Jesus then makes absolutely no sense. For you only need a Savior from your sins if there was a fall from perfection that you need to be restored to. The cross only makes perfect sense in light of what happened in the Garden of Eden, where our first parents ate from the forbidden tree, hoping to become like God, but instead led all of creation down the road of death. And so, now that Adam and Eve and all their descendants are totally corrupted and unholy, and unable to abide in the presence of a holy God, the Almighty now interacted with his creation and revealed himself through the written word, by sending the Holy Spirit to men chosen to write it down. And what did God choose to share with us? His plan of saving us through the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who would take on flesh, live the perfect life we are unable to, and then impart that life to us, while at the same time receiving the punishment that our sins and rebellion so rightly deserve. And the Scriptures also reveal why God did this. It's because of his divine love for us, and that this exchange of Christ's life for ours happened on the cross. And now, God the Father will see his only begotten Son in us on that day that we stand before him. God will call us his own, and we will forever be known as Christ's brother or sister. The Bible reveals all of this, and it begins in Genesis at the very beginning, and ends in the book of Revelation, with a glimpse into the future, where we see a new heaven and a new earth, where sin is no more and its effects are no longer seen or felt. So on this Trinity Sunday, we acknowledge that believing the Bible as the true, unaltered revelation of God is paramount to a solid faith, a faith that can and will endure the trials and tribulations of this world until life's end, giving us the assurance that we are forgiven through Christ and that Eden awaits all who believe. Let us, therefore, on this day, give all glory for this to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord's blessings to you in the week ahead.